Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Trayazo, cañonazo, la escuadra del capitán de Ivan Rakitić.
Hello everyone and welcome to another weekend edition of La Liga Lowdown. I'm your host Matt Clark and I'm delighted to be joined from Valencia by Paco Pollitt. How are you, Paco?
Hi Matt, I'm fine, even though the weekend wasn't really that great for Valencia followers, but regardless of what happened over at Santiago Bernabeu ground, plenty of things to dissect tonight, plenty of little details over in that game, which Girona were able to win over at Vallecas, also Barça struggling to win their game, Villarreal, plunging to their own demise over at El Metropolitano, Marcelino bound to become Villarreal's manager in the next few minutes or hours or days. Griezmann scoring again, assisting again, Simeone on a rut after his contract extension. So many things to talk about, yeah.
Indeed, the international break is upon us, but we signed off in style because every team that played this weekend scored a goal. 3.66 goals per game, 33 in the 9 fixtures. The one we didn't have was, of course, Mallorca against Cadiz, postponed due to Kosovo-Israel taking place on Sunday too. 4 of the top 5 had to come from behind to win. More on that in a bit. But we have to start with what is always the headline on a match day like this. El Gran Derby, or the Seville Derby, as it should be known. Sevilla-Betis. Betis, of course, coming into this much the better side in form. 5 wins on the bounce. Sevilla, of course, struggling massively. They were the better side, Betis, in this game, but couldn't really convert their chances. They did take the lead through Ayoze Perez after a poor flap from Marko Dimitrovic. But then Ivan Rakitic to the rescue for Sevilla to make it 4 draws in a row under Diego Alonso. And Betis, they just can't quite get it done in the derby. Pellegrini still hasn't won one in the league. The only win he has over Sevilla is in the cup as Betis coach. Paco, what did you make of it?
Well, obviously there's something to be made out of Pellegrini not really being able to crack the nut, ultimately, which is Sevilla for him. Even though in many chances Betis have been the favourites before the game, they had the better squad or best dynamic or the best streak of results, it really doesn't matter when you come down to those 90 minutes, especially we today over at El Sánchez Pizjuán. I think that even though in the first half, remember that Bellerin scoring the goal, which was ultimately, because of the player deflecting the strike. But in the second half, I think that ultimately Rakitic scoring that amazing strike from outside the box was the only actual highlight of Sevilla during the second half. Even though it was quite balanced throughout the game, I think that Betis had more chances, they had more ball possession, they had more presence in the opposite sides of the pitch. And Sevilla, at this point, you only have to listen to the chants once the game finished. They were just saved by Dimitrovic time and time after time. and the chants were directed to the board of executives. So I actually believe that change is going to happen very soon, especially in the board of executives, as there's a general assembly coming up. Many things, many pieces moving around Sevilla, with former president José María del Nido speaking out and actually setting up his TikTok account a few days ago, which is weird and bizarre and the kind of thing which makes this kind of derbies very, very spicy. And yeah, overall, I think that it was really disappointing football-wise, because if you leave aside Betis scoring early and later Rakitic leveling the game with that amazing strike, not really much can be said about both sides. I think that Sevilla are struggling at this point with absolutely every game that they play. And Betis, as I said earlier, don't really know how to play against Sevilla in these kinds of games. So if you put everything into the blender, you can, you know, you could expect that the outcome was going to be a draw.
Yeah, indeed. Well, if that one didn't quite tick all the boxes for you, listeners, I'm sure Friday night certainly did.
Es penalti. Viene Berenguer, viene Berenguer, viene Berenguer, Berenguer. Goal!
Unexpected, ridiculous partidazo between Athletic and Celta at San Mamés. Celta led 1-0 and 2-1. Iago Aspas finally scored after so many weeks and months. Athletic levelled twice, then led themselves 3-2. But then Celta got back in it, and then Iago Aspas had a penalty saved by Unai Simón with the score at 3-3. And then Athletic finally put another dagger into the heart of Rafa Benitez with a 4-3 goal, 98th minute penalty from Alex Berenguer. Celta just keep conceding in the last 15 minutes of games. It's cost them 12 points this season already, and they only have 7. So just imagine what it would look like if they kept the door shut at the end. But as for Athletic and Valverde, it's their best start since 1993. And you have to go back to 1982 when they had a better start at this stage of the season. Paco, Valverde really pumping it onto Benitez here.
Yeah, two former Valencia managers, by the way. And I'm really sorry for what Rafa Benitez is enduring in this tenure at the helm over at Celta, because first up, I think that he's finished. You know, I think that if not, he might be the following game, if he's able to endure the pressure in the following 15 days and Celta's board are able to keep their confidence on his abilities. I think that the game being played in a fortnight when Celta will visit Mestalla, which is going to be a very emotional game regardless, might be, you know, the nail in the coffin for Benitez, who is possibly the unluckiest manager in La Liga, just the way they have been, you know, bleeding points left and right. Whenever they are just unable to, as you said, keep the door shut, they get penalized by referee calls and, you know, unfair calls overall. Not the luckiest season for Celta, and also unfortunately for them, we're talking about their centenary season. So, yeah, but it was an amazing game. I think that we had many things to highlight. For example, Iago Aspas wreaking havoc on Athletic Club in the first half an hour. He scored once, it was disallowed, later scored an absolutely bonkers goal with his left foot from outside the box, you know, just going into the bottom corner of the goal, and Unai Simón, just how massive he is physical wise, he was just unable to stop it. And Sunset leveled very quickly. Bamba scored a howler from outside the box too. Guruceta once again in the nick of time before the halftime was able to level once again. And in that sense, you know, Celta allowed the 2-2 with only seconds to go in the first half. Athletic scored the third in the fifth minute of the second period, and once again they scored the penalty in the 97th minute, as you said. So Celta are just so afraid of extra times here and there and the final minutes of each half that it's just too bad for them. You know, even though Larsen with a great move was able to level the game once again, Iago Aspas had the win and he missed. Or I should say, Unai Simón had
good save.
You know, very good save, very, very good save. The penalty was perfectly executed, and Unai Simón was just massive under the stick. So overall, tough luck for Benitez, who is, you know, this season having a severe punishment in almost every single game. And on the other side of things, Valverde is just, you know, one of my favorite managers, hands down, in La Liga. I think he's severely underrated as Barca's manager. Actually, Barca's demise just kickstarted when he was sacked in January 2020, I believe, by Bartomeu. And from that point on, you know, Barca were never just the same. And Barca fans might have taken that kind of winning and not really suffering for granted. And Valverde is doing an amazing job over at Athletic Club. Once again, delivering in spades with plenty of chances for the youngsters. All of them, you know, homegrown, coming in from Lezama, climbing through the ranks. And once again, as Iñaki Williams, and in this case, Nico Williams, had a great game. In this case, Nico was perfect for his team's interests. So yeah, definitely 100% deserved all of the praise for Valverde, because he's an excellent manager and he's doing a great job this season for Athletic Club.
Yep, they stay in fifth, just outside the top four. And Gorka Gurruceta has scored 6 goals now this season for Athletic. Maybe, just maybe, they have a reliable goal scorer as that number 9. Speaking of the club that is fourth, and that is Atleti, they took on managerless Villarreal after the Yellow Submarine officially sacked Pacheta after their Europa League win. We'll come on to Marcelino in just a moment, Paco, but Villarreal played quite well in the first half, took the lead through Gerard Moreno. He scored for the 5th game running in the league. But Atleti, again, we talk about timing of goals for Celta. Villarreal conceded just on half-time. Axel Witsel, free as a bird at the back post to tap in. And it took a while for Atleti to break them down, but eventually it came from, who else, Antoine Griezmann, with a late goal to make it 2-1. And then on the break, Pablo Barrios, who's been called up to the under-21s, he squared it for Lino. Fabulous pass, fabulous finish to seal Atleti's 17th home win in a row in all competitions. So Atleti still going strong, reacting after that Las Palmas defeat in the league. And yeah, Villarreal, we think Marcelino is effectively almost done. It hasn't been officially confirmed as we stand right now, but it's just imminent, isn't it?
Yeah, actually, in the flash interview after the game, the reporter asked Raul Albiol about Marcelino, and he was very open about his arrival, saying that, yeah, obviously that the manager might be eager to just kickstart the training sessions with them, you know, trying to get a grip on the strengths and weaknesses of this side. And yeah, everyone considers Marcelino already done and dusted all of the talks regarding his deal. It should be official in the next few hours, and he has a very tough job ahead of him, because Villarreal have been so inconsistent this season, with plenty of problems, especially in the midfield. You know, Gerard Moreno is scoring goals, yes, left and right, but that isn't enough, because at the back, you know, even when Jorgensen has been a good signing, because he's been, you know, delivering strong performances, it's just not enough for them. I think that tonight they felt the inconsistency at the back, with a number of subs made by Miguel Angel Tena, which was the caretaking manager for this game, using a couple of youngsters in this match. I was trying to check out the player, Carlos Romero, who played as the left back. You know, he appeared in both goals in the second half for Atleti, so it wasn't really his strongest performance. So yeah, I think that after Pacheta and after opening the season with Quique Setién, it's going to be very tough for Villarreal to really climb back to the levels that they were expected. You know, Europe is very far away from them at this point, but I'm 100% positive that Marcelino is going to, you know, stabilize their performances and improve them quite a lot from now till the end of the season. I don't think that it's going to be enough for them to make in top 6, but definitely they are going to leave aside all of the worries about, you know, potential relegation and so on. Whereas for Atleti, 6 out of 6 at home, very strong, very confident, just unstoppable when playing at El Wanda Metropolitano. As I said earlier, it's been a massive week also for Simeone, his contract extension for 3 more seasons. Everything is happiness for Colchoneros at this point, for Atleti fans. Griezmann scoring once again. Pablo Barrios, he had an excellent game overall, but in this case, massive run coming from behind, you know, and just like a knife on butter, you know, penetrating all of Villarreal's defense and delivering the assist to Samulino, who is back and once again scoring. So, yeah, we have, at this point, a four-horse race for the title, four contenders at this point, which is, I wouldn't say unprecedented, because we've seen in the last 5-6 years a couple of times something similar, but... You know, as far as the four contenders are concerned, the levels of confidence at this point are very different between them. And Atletico Madrid are at this point, I would say, the underdog, because nobody really counts on them. But if you look at the numbers and you look at the performances, yeah, they can have the, you know, the usual defeat here and there, like the other day against Las Palmas. But if they win everything at home, we are talking about them securing almost 57 points. If they win everything at Metropolitano, which is almost 70% of the job, if they really want to be a La Liga contender. So keep an eye and be watchful for Atletico, because I wouldn't rule them out from La Liga championship contenders.
Yeah, Griezmann in fine form. The bench strength so strong. Interestingly, they have conceded in every home game this season, but like the firepower they have this year, it doesn't seem to be mattering. And quite fitting that Atleti's win to celebrate Simeone's contract renewal comes against Villarreal, because they were the first side he beat as their coach. Mm-hmm. And yeah, as for Villarreal, you said give Marcelino the keys and just let him go. So we'll see how that develops in the coming days. You've mentioned four horse race, and the fourth horse in that race, who are currently the front runner, and that is Girona.
Yeah.
Yes, they are still top. They went to Rayo. Michel, his homecoming at Vallecas, where he is so warmly received. A fabulous ovation for him before and after the game. Rayo took the lead and were pretty comfortable early doors, but then Girona do what they do. They got level, they came from behind, dominated the game, and won again. 16 points from deficits on the scoreboard they've been able to take. It's, they keep surprising people. They're leaders by 2 points. Can it continue? They're so impressive. Is it sustainable?
Yeah, that's the biggest headline of the season so far. Girona on top after 13 games, which is unprecedented. And by the way, like 95% of the times on which a team has had this number of points at this this point in the competition, with one third already being played, all of them finish with that spoken team in the top four, which would also be massive, because you could just imagine the headlines if the following season we had a Manchester City-Girona showdown in the Champions League. Many people would just, you know, run around in circles and just cry wolf, like we would say over here. But yeah, the message of Bucaneros and the stands over at Vallecas to Michel was, Michel, el nieto de la María, bienvenido al barrio, which is Michel, the María's grandson, which is one of the neighbors. Welcome to the neighborhood, because they consider one of themselves. Okay, Michel is one of them. Rayo fans know that Michel has been a Rayo player, has been a Rayo fan all of his life. And back in the day, he was Rayo's manager. And now he's doing a spectacular job at the helm over at Girona. As you said, many things to pinpoint from this game. Once again, the early opener by Álvaro García for Rayo Vallecano. But, you know, slowly the level, the balance of the game was toppled over in Girona's favor. I think that the Ukrainian forward Dobik did an absolutely amazing game overall.
What a signing.
But yeah, the goal that he scored before halftime is excellent. You know, just excellent. The way he moves into the space and just leaves the defender when going for the break and making himself comfortable inside the box, he leaves the defender at the ground, you know, and he's able to finish in a one-touch finish, which delivered the draw for Girona. And then in the second half, once again, he was in charge of that one-touch finish. Later, the goalkeeper, Dimitrievski, deflecting it. And finally, once again, Savinho scoring. Mm. He has been huge so far this season, too. So, Dobik, Savinho, so many players being highlights for Girona this year. And at this point, you just can't believe in coincidences. If Girona are so much in form at this point, they have deserved 99% of the times. Maybe except the game they won against Celta, which was very controversial with that referee call and so on. But the rest of the games have been very, very impressive. So at this point, hats off for towards Girona. I don't really remember another, you know, underdog side level team excelling so much. I, you know, thinking about very hard, maybe Levante 10 years ago, remember that at this point, like we were in match day 8, 9, 10, they were fighting for the top of the league. But I don't know, Girona are just surprising absolutely everyone. And, you know, Mitchell is in large part responsible for all of this.
Mm. Yeah, fantastic. They stay top and they continue to just keep scaling heights. That's all we have time for in part one. When we come back, we'll talk about the rest of the games from the weekend, including Barca and Real Madrid both winning, but in very different ways. Stay with us.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Control by Gundogan, and it's taken off him by John Guridi, striding forward. Look at Javi Lopez into the penalty area. The cross for Samu. Oh my word! Can you believe it? 17 seconds in, and Alaves have the lead. And it is Samu Omorodion who slots it home. And it could not have been easier for Alaves.
Welcome back to La Liga Lowdown. We'll go straight to Barca's game against Alaves, because once again, they conceded within the first 20 seconds of a game. Second time it's happened this season. It happened against Granada and it happened again at home this time. Samu Omorodion had already scored against Atleti at the Civitas Metropolitana. He's now scored at Montjuic. Fabulous goal. Gundogan lost the ball. It was played left from Guridi and then it was crossed in, and Omorodion got ahead of Inigo Martinez to finish nicely. Alaves were really good value for their lead, but Barca did ultimately turn the game around. Robert Lewandowski ended his goal drought, the winner coming from the penalty spot. Still not convincing from Barca though, was it? Xavi said that they detected the issue. Wasn't obviously had solved it though, was it?
Yeah, remember that Omorodion had another chance in the first half very early with a shot into the crossbar, I believe. And Luis Garcia was so mad after the game because he said that in the first half, if they had more accuracy. I was going to talk about quality, but not really. More accuracy on target, and they should have gone to the locker room with a 2-goal or 3-goal advantage. But if you leave Barca alive, most of the times you pay, and that's what happened in the first half, because ultimately ball possession for Barca was 72-28, which is amazing. And yeah, Barca, improved in the second half, but once again, you can really see the cracks in Xavi's system and tactics, and you can also detect those cracks between some of the players. You know, some of the video clips making the rounds in social media and during the TV broadcast of Lewandowski being as mad as hell with Lamine Yamal because of not receiving a couple of assists, clear assists with Barca striker just waiting to tap it in, and Lamine Yamal was a bit selfish in the place and in the finish. Ultimately, we're talking about a veteran player. I believe Lewandowski is 32 or 33. Lamine Yamal is half his age.
Mm.
And you should definitely have a bit more patience with the kid. And especially as the kid really, you know, apologized for not doing things properly and tried, you know, clapping hands with him. And he, you know, snatched the hand away. He didn't want to really greet his teammate. And that is quite nasty from such a veteran player as Lewandowski, who should try to, you know, include and teach some of his teammates, especially the younger ones, not only to play better, but also to behave better. And in this case, Lewandowski wasn't really fortunate in that sense. But yeah, he scored a brace. So in this sense, he might be quite happy. Maybe he wanted more goals. But yeah, he's slowly crawling back at Bellingham, who didn't play this weekend. And with two more goals, Lewandowski, the second one from the penalty spot. A bit harsh on Alaves, very unlucky handball overall, but yeah, Barca are just becoming used to win games with a very tight, suffering, narrow margin. Yeah, and someday they won't be lucky. So far it has worked, even though Xavi just decided to blame after the game, you know, he decided to blame the media and the pressure and the fans and everyone trying to influence the performance of his lads. But ultimately Barca have to do really a self-assessment in this break and try to find out what is going wrong for them, because most of the time we expect Barca both to play well and to win, and at this point they are just winning with a very tight margin, with very tight games and tight scores, and someday they won't be as lucky.
Indeed, the next two home games in the league when they come back from the break: Atleti at the start of December, followed by Girona coming to Montjuic. So two massive tests for Xavi's side when we come back after the international break. As for Real Madrid, as you said, no Jude Bellingham for this one, but no problem. They beat Valencia 5-1. Only a late Hugo Duro consolation gave any kind of glimmer for Valencia. Vinny and Rodrigo finally came into form in the league, at least 2 goals from each of them. Dani Carvajal with the other. That's Valencia's heaviest defeat under Ruben Baraja. But yeah, Paco, Real were pretty comfortable here, weren't they?
Well, many things to say about this game, even though we can really sum it up with the fact that Valencia didn't show up. And the fact that Valencia did compete in the first half an hour. But when you do have 3 clear chances, clear as day, and your striker, in this case Hugo Duro, misses them all of them, the chances of winning or getting something positive out of El Bernabeu are slim to none. I would say none, actually. So, yeah, it wasn't really the best night for Hugo Duro, even though he scored in the second half. It's quite amazing, actually, that he scored the toughest one to actually score and slot in. And the easiest ones, you know, one-on-one on Lunin and a clear-as-day header with no kind of opposition in front of him, nobody in front of him. He just missed to connect. He failed to connect with the header. And a chance very early in the first half with a good maneuver inside the box and finishing into and slamming the ball into Lunin's body. Overall, if instead of Hugo Duro, Valencia had, I would say, a higher quality striker, not to slam on Hugo Duro, but, you know, back in the day, he was the third choice for the managers, in his case, Bordalas and so on. Last year, we had Cavani over here, even though Cavani wasn't really in form. But yeah, Valencia lacked, in this case, the individual quality to make a difference. And when this kind of game is played against Real Madrid, a very open one, trying to, you know, making the comparison with boxing, Valencia went on a full-fledged head-to-head with Real Madrid. And if you don't have really the power to score the chances that you generate, you're going to be spanked. And that's what's happened with Valencia, who, you know, saw how Real Madrid scored the second one late in the first half. The game more or less was open, But, you know, the opening of the second half was absolute rubbish. You know, the way Valencia was just sleeping and their defense just left Vinicius to trickle into the front end of the box and finish very easily. Mamardashvili wasn't really, fortunate in most of his saves. Carvajal scoring with his left foot, which is also quite remarkable because he really doesn't use it ever. And Rodrigo scoring lately, massive mistake in that fourth goal by Mamardashvili. So overall, you have the perfect storm. You know, Madrid feeling very comfortable and Valencia not showing up, especially in the second half. So yeah, I would say that 5-1 was a fair scoreline. Mainly because Valencia didn't really show what they have shown so far in the 12 earlier games.
Indeed, got to land those punches when you get the chance. Real Sociedad left it late, but they did get back to winning ways in La Liga. They went ahead in Almeria through Mikel Oyarzabal, whose strong form continues, 9 goals in 11 for him. But Almeria pegged them back, Sergio Arribas with another goal. He's been really impressive for them.
Yeah, Madrid youngster, by the way.
Indeed, yeah, he's having a good season in a relatively poor team. And then it took 2 late goals from one from Carlos Fernandez from the spot, and then Martin Zubimendi to seal the win. Only Sporting in 97-98 have had a worse start than Almeria. Even Elche last season, remember how bad they were? Even they had more points.
Levante
after 13
seasons ago.
Yeah, exactly. For example. Yeah. Even they had more points than Almeria have now after 13 games. I mean, yeah, Real Sociedad back up above Betis into sixth place. But Almeria, is there any hope?
I would say very little at this point because Garitano has possibly the toughest job of his career ahead of him. In this particular game, they were once again unlucky because they deserved to pick up a point against Real Sociedad. The Churiurdins were better in the second half. They dominated more. They had more chances. But the fact is that Almeria were defending quite well. But again, a very unfortunate handball inside the box in the 90th minute allowed Carlos Fernandez to score the 2-1. And later, Zubimendi scored the final goal in the 96th minute, I believe. So, with a header, by the way. Not really a good showcase of what Almeria should do in order to pick up points. But at the same time, it's a good learning curve for Garitano. Remember, he was in charge last season over at Eibar. And he was very unlucky, by the way, because Eibar were dominating second division for 80% of the season. And they just dropped off in a way, you know, the form dropped dramatically in the last 10 games and they were just unable to, squeeze into the first two spots, which promoted directly to Primera. And later in the playoffs, they were quickly knocked out. So it's going to be very tough for Almeria because the amount of points that they have to catch up with the rest of the opposition is very large. 3 points at this point, 3 out of 39 is awful numbers. You know, 35 goals allowed, the team which allows the most over in La Liga. But at the same time, if you actually see the numbers, there's so much balance from the 12th spot downwards that you have in the fray. Osasuna would be more or less the team which marks the line, sitting at 12th. But you have Sevilla, Villarreal, Alaves, Cádiz, Mallorca, Celta, Granada, Almeria. Almeria are actually 2 games away from salvation. Mm. 2 games with 26 remaining. So the bottom line is that it's going to be a very, very tough job. But actually, it's not impossible. Why? Because it's still very early in the season.
Yeah, lots of poor teams at the moment at the bottom, not in any kind of form. So they have a chance of catching those, for sure. A couple of those involved on Saturday afternoon, 2-1-1 draws to finish with. Granada 1, Getafe 1. Borja Mayoral scored yet again for Getafe before ex-Getafe player Gonzalo Villar equalised. And over at El Sadar, Molero opened for Las Palmas with his first goal in the top flight, but Ante Budimir continued his hot streak with an equaliser. Both of those teams just about comfortable mid-table, but Granada, the only one of the bottom three to pick up a point this weekend. What did you make of those two, Paco? I know you just caught up with them towards the end, but anything to say from these?
Well, once again, Bordalas, with his amazing streak of games. I was checking out the last time that Getafe lost a game, and it actually happened against Real Sociedad over in September.
Yeah.
From that point onward, it's just been draw after draw after draw after draw after draw. Their win last week on Monday, the ending, ending the match day 12. And, picking up point after point after point has Getafe mid-table, which is ultimately their main goal this season, because Getafe and Bordalas actually know that after suffering so much last year, making it till the literal last game without really securing the remaining in La Liga, I think that what Getafe really want this season is try to get as clear away from danger as possible, as soon as possible. And Bordalas knows that as far as they, or as long as they pick up points every single week, they will be fine. And in this game against Granada, obviously Granada are not at this point in a good form. Also, Paco López is in severe danger of getting the sack. Actually, I was surprised of him not getting the sack. Of you not getting a sack after what happened in Copa del Rey. Remember that Granada are going to be knocked out from Copa del Rey because of an illegal lineup.
Yeah, the goalkeeper.
Of players. Correct, yep. Correct. Goalkeeper, 24-year-old. And as you know, we're trying to make it sure, but amateur players should be under 23s. And, lining up the goalkeeper was a massive mistake on Granada's behalf, even though they have announced that they are going to, challenge the decision. 99% of the end result is going to be Granada getting knocked out from Copa del Rey. So, awful week for Paco López. They lost at Mestalla. They are going to get knocked out of Copa del Rey. They drew against Getafe, which is a direct enemy in the fight for survival. So, I have serious doubts about Paco López remaining at the helm in the following 15 days. Unfortunately for us, because Paco López is a friend of La Liga Lowdown.
Yes, indeed he is. Well, that wraps it up for match day 13. As we say, Mallorca Cadiz was postponed. That will be played, I think, after match day 14 in a midweek somewhere there. So that's coming up end of November, December. For us now, we will look ahead to the international break. Stay with us. Please subscribe and upgrade at llonline.substack.com. Paco, you can tell them why.
Because if not, you are losing, I wouldn't say half of the picture. I would say 75% of the picture. Mm. Because, it's fine to listen to us, ramble and talk about what is going on over at the weekend. But the real meat of this stuff happens midweek. And you are missing out on amazing reports, incredible write-ups by our very talented staff. And also the midweek podcast, which is often very, very special. So if you haven't subscribed yet, it's just a fiver a month. It's, Calderilla, we say in Spanish, pocket money. Not really that much. So just do it and you won't regret it.
There you go. I can't add any more to that. Thank you for your time, Paco. Enjoy the international break.
I will do, for sure.
And thank you for listening, and we hope to speak to you again soon. Adios.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.